Okay. So we asked a question on the Baishal Shudas, we asked a question, we'll repeat it, and we'll give different answers. The question was that Esther was taken to the queen's, to the king's palace, and she became the queen. And at that moment in time, it was very early in the story, years before Haman was even in his superpower. And therefore, Mordechai told Esther, do not reveal your nationality, your religion, and she held to it. And it was a big thing because Ahasuerus was trying to figure it out. Ahasuerus is offering monetary compensation to the nation that she says she's from. He made a party for her and said, if you could tell me what nation you're from, they don't pay taxes. It was a big thing. In general, you would assume if you have somebody in the White House, then you try to, if you're the mayor of New York City, you try to make sure that you get all your, the DOJ off your back, right? You get rid of all the building codes, all the parking tickets, right? You take advantage of the situation. And here, Mordechai not only did not take advantage of the situation, he forbid Esther from doing it. So by Shal Shudas, we gave one approach. Now we'll give a few others. Approach number one, just because Rabbi Bodner is insisting that we continue the Thursday night shiur, the hemshach of the Thursday night shiur in the first few psukim of Megillas Esther. So we'll go back to the first few psukim. So Megillas Esther begins, as we know, we spent several weeks on it. And then it says, and then it adds in a number, 127. So we asked then, no number is random, obviously. And then we spoke then a few weeks back, check the tapes of why the number 127 matches up to Sarah's lifespan and what it fit in. But Lamaisa, either way, the number 127 is given is because it was a lesson to us to understand that there's a connection between Esther and Sarah Imenu. What was the connection? 127, 127, whatever that means. We spoke about then, there was a question of what Ahasuerus' ruling power was. So it began the Pasuk, first half of the Pasuk, whatever you call it, says, Mehoidu Va'akush, 127. Why is there two different descriptions? It could have said Hoidu Va'akush and figure out 127. Or it could have said 127, figure out Hoidu Va'akush. You need both. Now, obviously, we don't know Hoidu Va'akush is 127, but what's the point of it? So the Medrash is answering that the 127 name is specific to tell you the number to match up to Esther. So now back to the question we have. The question we have is this. Mordechai told Esther, Mom is the word. Do not say where you come from. Don't say your background. Don't say anything. Even though it could be advantageous to us, do not do it. So the question was, why not? So I saw this answer. I think it was the Yaris Dvash, but I don't remember now who it was. He says like this. Ahasuerus, the Gemara debates if Ahasuerus was a tippish or a smart man. Either way, in the reading of the Megillah, because he was still in power, already the Mefarshim say this, because he was in power, he's married to Esther, when they wrote the Megillah, they clearly were not going to write it in a way that would be obvious that they held it was a tippish. That would be very unwise. So, but there is an aspect to the fact that he might be a genius, or it might just be how they wrote about him. So Yair Shvat says like this. Some Medrashim bring down that Ahasuerus at one point ruled over more than 127. When it says 127 counties, countries he ruled over, what do you think before that statement? Do you assume he was roi for nothing, but he married Esther, so he was zeichet to get 127? Or do you look at the reverse? Really, he could have had 500. But since we had to match it up with Esther, we margined it down. How much we margined it down? Only to 127. It could have gone down to zero. But okay, we'll leave him at 127. Where was Ahasuerus prior to the 127? I don't know if anyone ever thought about it. So there is a medrash that says he ruled over much more than 127. And then he went down. Revolution, wars, expansion, Napoleon, you can pick any situation you want. And he went down to 127. So Mordechai had a cheshbon like this. Just like we are sitting on a Thursday night and we're analyzing the words 127, Ahasuerus might have also analyzed why 127. And he might also came up with the same answer. That what? Oh, since Esther is an anacle of Sari Menu, and Sari Menu lived 127 years, 127 places, time and space gets intertwined. So 127 year time, 127 space. Ahasuerus' result would have been not too happy. Because he never would have blamed himself. No husband ever blames himself. So what he would have done is, he would have said to himself, wait a second. You know, at one point, I had a tremendous malchus here. And then that guy chipped off, and then that guy went to the side, and I lost that little battle. And now I'm down to 127. And then all of a sudden, Esther shows up out of nowhere. Because I killed my first wife. And I asked her, who are you? Oh, yeah, but you know, I'm not so bad. I have royalty in me. I have royalty lineage. Royalty lineage, where do you come from? I come from Shalom Melech. Oh, not bad. What else? Let me learn your background. And he would find out the background. It's possibility that Achashverosh would have made the Zelba Cheshbon, and he would have gone back in time and realized 127, that number is not a random number in Judaism. It's a serious number, 127. And based on that, he would have been unhappy with Esther. He would have maybe taken revenge on Esther. And that, therefore, Mordechai, years before Haman came to power, said, Esther, keep quiet.
And he would have blamed the Jews if he would have said she's a Jew. That's what the
wrong. Yeah,
said.
Yeah.
Wait, so Mordechai didn't want to get the Jewish people to be a possible scapegoat.
And you're adding to a second answer given. Because one of the answers given, just in case everyone couldn't hear, is not only blaming Esther, he will blame Esther's ancestry, and then the Jews have what we call, we're united front. One of the answers brought down, a different answer now. Why did Mordechai tell Esther, do not take advantage, don't change the building codes, don't get a free parking spot, you don't have to worry about anything? Why did he not take advantage? Because he held like this. Achashverosh, he might be a drunk, he has a temper, he's got a lot of great samilas in us. You know what happened last time? He took his wife over potentially the slightest insult. If we go through, if we get through those psukim Bekarov, she was right, he was wrong. But you know what happens when you face the king? It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. Either way, you lose. Makes no difference whatsoever. So what happened was, when Vashti was killed, who else was killed when Vashti was killed?
You know, she was deposed.
No one.
Mara says she was killed.
Yeah, we had that conversation already. So she was no longer in charge. Or maybe she was killed. Who else was killed to Vashti? You know why you don't know the answer? Nobody. He took revenge on Vashti. But Mordechai said to Esther, next time he gets drunk and he gets upset, or Haman manipulates the situation, or whatever's going to happen, you know what's going to happen? He's not going to take revenge on you only. Jews are one unit. That's why in Columbia University, they could be screaming at the Jews in Israel. The guy in Columbia said, what have to do with that guy in Israel? What have to do with me? He can't say it because they can't, because everyone knows we're one nation. So Mordechai's, this is the second answer. Mordechai's cheshbon, only brought it up because the doc brought it up. Mordechai's cheshbon was, it's attached to the first. The first cheshbon was, he's going to look at Esther and say, you're not a good wife, you're a terrible wife. Because of you, I had to lose all these malchus from you. I went from 500, if that's the number, to 127. The next step in that same theory, the next answer would be, no, not just I went from 500 to 127, but you were a bad situation. You know what that means? You doesn't mean you. You means B'lashon Rabbim, collectively you. That would be two more answers.
So the Jews went, 100 people sat in jail today to defend
Adam. And there was Jews or non-Jews?
Jews.
Only Jews.
Only Jews.
Today. I hear. Right. That, for sure, we said many, many times, we brought this up many, many times, is that when we talk about anti-Semitism, we always say, it's not really the Goyim. We believe as Jews in the Zionist protocols. Right, we believe the Jews run the world, not the way they think we run the world. Not that we run the banks and we run the governments, we have secret cabals, all that nonsense. But we do run the world. What does it mean? The pasuk in the Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at Eretz Yisrael, looks at the Jews, and decides what should happen. The famous vart was by the Chavetz Chaim, when there was an earthquake in Japan, or was it 1904? I think it was 1902? 1902, there was a famous, and at that point, even though there were Jews in Japan, I don't think the Chavetz Chaim knew that, and they came to the Chavetz Chaim, and they told him, by the way, there was a thing in Japan. He said, okay, what do we have to do? Yeah, well, when the guy who built the thing for the Mir Yeshiva, they're already there, right?
No, that's Shanghai.
I don't know where the thing was. Right, when the tsunami, I don't know, what was that, 2004? So we believe for sure that the Jews run the world. So to say, not a chiddush, wouldn't be a chiddush to add on to what he's saying of Sandorovich, it's not a chiddush to say that when the whole world runs around and saying, well, let's not be good to the Jews, it's because there are, sadly to say, a few Jews saying not be good to the Jews.
When Trump is doing what's right, you have 100 Jews going against the
Abzerah. We're right. So we control the world. So right now, just as a point where Mr. Moses was looking at before, that the idea is that when we said this one time, I don't know if I said it here, that there's no winning with Achashverosh. Not just Achashverosh. All kings, all pharaohs, probably all presidents, probably all wealthy people. It depends on how you want to take this down. The vart in Vayigash, when he was facing Yosef, when Yehuda came forward to Yosef, so it says, I hate to put Rabbi on the spot, but he always gets it right anyway. What's the first word he said? He whispered in his ear. What was the lashon there in the beginning of Vayigash? Ba'ozne adonim, which Rashi says right now, Rashi interprets. What do you mean I talk to your ears? Of course I talk to your ears. I can't talk to your eyes. Of course I'm speaking to your ears. Why does the pasuk add on the word I'm talking to your ears? So Rashi says, I was whispering to you. He whispered to him. When you talk to someone's ear, you whisper to the person. Thus happens, he's whispering to Yosef. And Rashi gives different interpretations. One is, kikamaycha kapare means, dubistaligna, you're a liar like Pare. Or, I'm going to take revenge on you like I can wipe out Pare. It's all negative stuff here. It isn't possible. You can't embarrass the king. The viceroy, same thing. Viceroy, in the same way, so you have to be a stickle still when you're talking to the person. But others say, from my grandfather, I saw it. He says like this. He says, when you come in to fight the king, you can't win. Because if you're right, the revenge is death. You embarrass the king in public. If you're wrong, you went against the king and you're wrong. You got one shot at the king. What's that famous phrase? If you take the shot, don't miss, right? So Yosef said to himself, listen, Erkenesh, I'm in a bad situation here. I can't talk to you. I know what the situation is. Look, your mother's dead. I can't go into the situation and talk. I have a conversation. He says, I will be loichesh ba'aznecha. I'll whisper in your ears, and therefore I have an advantage to do it. Just because we're going from sugya to sugya to sugya. The other place, that was the ba'azni adoni. And Rashi says he whispered in his ear. But the most famous one, I think, of this is, where it says in Negea to last week's Haftarah, Negea to what we're doing today, Amalek, the war against Amalek. Yismach Moshe makes this famous, is that by the parsha of Amalek, Hashem commanded Moshe, Sim ba'azne Yeshua, place in the ears of Yeshua. Place in the ears. What does it mean, the ears, again? Of course I talk to you. So, the gematria of the word ba'azne is 70, which equals the word soid, secret. When you talk to a person, you whisper, it's a secret. So every time it says in the Torah, the word ba'azne, Ken Zion is talking about having a secret. What was the secret? What was the secret? Well, not a secret. The Torah says, Medav Hargan Allah Malik. Till today, we got an obligation. Wipe them out. What's the secret? So according to this Machmoshi, based on Midrashim, this Machmoshi says that Mordechai was fully aware. As Kol HaShanasim, Perek Dalet tonight, Rebelli reads it. Kol HaShanasim means, how did Mordechai know what was going on? Mordechai said in there was a secret meeting between Haman and Achashverosh. And then, how does he know? Kol HaShanasim, so it says, Ayidei Ruach, Ayidei Nevuah, Ayidei Chaloim, Pentas Medrash should go with. And Mordechai knew everything that was going on, even what was not apparent to the average person walking the street. Mordechai was aware of what was going on. The Yisrael Chesha says, Kol HaShanasim meant, what's the Lashon again, right after that? The Lashon is that he tore his clothing and he went into the street and he screamed the Tz'aka Gedoyla. He knew everything that was happening, Vice Kriya, and went into the street and started screaming. When you hear something bad news, Chas V'Shalom Lo Yaleinu, what's your first reaction? You Vice Kriya or you start crying? What goes first? You cry. Mordechai had it backward here. Mordechai, it says he first stopped the Vice Kriya and then he went and started crying. Backward. Yismach Moshe says that when Simba Ozna Yeshua, this is a real secret Kabbalah of the Jews. This is one of the secret Kabbalahs the Jews really had. That from Moshe Rabbeinu's time, there was a secret being passed on from leader of the generation to leader of the generation that got to Mordechai. And the secret was, understand one thing, right before the building of the second base of Mikdash, there's going to be someone from Amalek who's going to come forward and he's going to start a fight and don't worry about it. There's nothing to be concerned. As soon as you repent, you win for sure. So Mordechai knew that the end game was a win. He wasn't that concerned, but he can't show non-concern because the trigger, the detail that is required is a little repentance. So what he had to do is he had to get the Jews nervous so they'll repent. So what did he do? He said, okay, he's not really screaming because he wasn't upset about it. So he first sat around, it's called putting on your Purim costume. He has to put on his clothing and pretend he's nervous. So he vised Kriya, and then he went out into the street in front of the world. Oh, it's Tzaka Gedoyla. But still a hate. There was no Tzaka Gedoyla. So it was fine. He was okay with it. So Simba Ozne is a secret again. And we know it ties into Amalek that there was a secret they knew they were going to win all along. But this ties in to the third answer. Let's do this slowly. I'm doing a lot of information here. Our initial question was, why did Mordechai tell Esther, mum's the word, instead of taking advantage of the building codes? Answer number one we gave tonight, I don't remember anymore. What was answer number one? I'm doing this on the spot here. Answer number one was the 127. Then we had Doc's addition to the 127 become answer number two. If he gets revenge, he gets in a bad mood, he's going to wipe out all the Yidden, not just them. Then we took a side road a little bit and discussed what the word Ba'azne is and how to win against them. But we see now also the third answer. What's the third answer? Based on a Gemara. The Gemara says in Tezvav and Mabez, What was the story we're going to read tonight? Megillah? The Gemara says that Esther came forward to the king, a moment of immense sakana, right? The Malach, almost, if not for the Malach, pushing the scepter in the right direction. Esther's gone. Real serious situation. She gets forward. She gets granted a wish. What does she wish? I want to meet with the king in Haman. Huge request. And it happens. Then she gets to the meal. Right? What happens when she gets to the meal? He says, I'll give you ad chatzi ha-malchus. What do you want now? You know what she requests? Tomorrow. What do you mean? You're here right now. What are you waiting for tomorrow for? Why? Seize the moment, we say in Carpe Diem. Is that Carpe Diem? Seize the moment. So the Gemara asks this question. It's not my question. Gemara Tesavon Bey says, Yovei Amelech v'Haman al Mishta, Tanu Rabbanan, Ma Rasa Esther Shezimnes Haman. Why, English article, what was Esther's reason for inviting Haman to the banquet? Which meant, why are you waiting another day? And the Gemara gives several answers. Before I read them, I will say that in the next page it says, Ashkechei Rabba Baravul Elyo, because there were a lot of answers given. So Rabba finds Elyo Navi and he tells him, Amalei, Keman Chazi Esther v'Avdi Achi. By the way, there were a lot of answers. What was Esther really thinking? Do you have to say? No, that's above yet, right? What are you really thinking? Amalei Elyo answers, Kekulu Tanoi Kulmroi. Every cheshbon you're about to make, Esther all of them. She was playing the chessboard perfectly. Let's go through some of the chessboard of Esther. Why am I bringing this down? For two reasons I'm bringing this down. One is because even though I'm giving you multiple answers on Mordechai, why he might have told Esther, don't snitch, don't talk, keep quiet, ich will sagen that every answer, what's the lashon? Kulu tamay kulam roi. Mordechai had several chess pieces he was playing at the time. So don't think each answer ruins the other answer. Multiple cheshbon is going on. But let's go through Esther's cheshbon. Esther's cheshbon number one was pacham tamloi. She set a trap for him. Very vague. 36, an article says, the message of Rizaval, at a time when a person feels comfortable, he's particularly susceptible to downfall. One was, make him feel overconfident. A little vague. Rabbi Yeshua says, she learned this from her parents. We're not going to go through all that. Next one, Rabbi Yehuda, new answer. Kadesh l'aikiru b'shu yudus. Now, Haman was starting this whole plan. He shouldn't know that she was a Jew. So wait an extra day. We're not going to that answer. Third answer, Rabbi Nehemiah. English. We have so that the Jews would not say, we have a sister in the royal palace who will entreat the king on our behalf and neglect praying for divine mercy. So we see Esther had a cheshbon. Elio, you don't need a bigger stempel than that. That's a gracious stempel. Elio says, Das was part of the cheshbon. That what? If she would have right away gone in there, the Jews would say, oh, we got someone in the White House, married to the daughter of the White House. We're happy about that. No, we want to make sure the Jews are going to take their repentance seriously. We said before that part of the spiel of Mordechai knew the ending, but there was a trigger. There has to be a repentance. That has to be real. If everyone would have been confident, oh, we have Esther, who cares? It wouldn't have been good. So I'm Americanizing it. What he did was Mordechai, he told Esther, you go in there and you chummy up to Haman. Make like your buddies with Haman. So every person's going to say, what are we going to do now? We better do real penance. We relied on her. She's nothing. It could be, I don't think Senderovich will agree with this, but Ken Zayin, that the 100 people in jail, it's all a part of Esther's strategy to pretend that the Jews are I don't know Russia's name, this Arab guy. And really, that's all, they're setting a trap. But anyway, maybe we should do tshuva for that. Enjoy that. Oh.
Jewish grandchildren on the way.
That's an easy answer now. That's an easy answer. If Esther had this cheshbon way further down the road, Mordechai had the cheshbon early on. Mordechai knew before. And as we said, Mordechai knew as Kol HaShanasa. He knew everything. So while Esther was taken to the queen's palace, his first reaction is, oh, listen, you know what? I don't know which Jews knew, which Jews didn't know who Esther was. Mom's the word. No overconfidence. You know why? Because in a few years from now, as the chess pieces are moving, we're going to need real repentance. We got to make sure that not everyone's confidence. You know what, Esther? Get into the Malchus. Get into the queen. When they say, oh, who's your nation? We're going to write off the building codes. No traffic tickets. We're going to turn off the cameras in Borough Park. No speeding tickets. Esther said, I don't know. Why would you do it in Borough Park more than the Bronx? What do I have to do with Borough Park? So all the Yidden's first reaction, possibly to say, when she was first taken was, Esther, we can't rely on Esther. We're still getting traffic tickets. Can't rely on Esther. Still got the cops coming in, giving out tickets. So the plan was, Mordechai said, yeah, I don't mind this. Take the abuse, Esther. follow the abuse, let them be upset with me, but let them not say, Achos yesh lanu bebeis hamelech. So that would be a three. Third answer. We gave a fourth on Shal Shudas. Shal Shudas. Okay, we're going to stop here. Let's get ready for Meirev and Megillah and understand that there's an opportunistic time of we read the destruction of Haman and we fulfill the destruction. And hopefully we said in the Megillah share, we ought to build the case car to become Kisei Shayyud Kei Vav Kei Amen.